Everyone, we're just getting ready to go on Talk Shoe on Facebook Live, so bear with us a minute, please. In service of the Weatherby House Church, Mark is going to read the scripture for us. Okay, good morning, Facebook Live. You've joined us for the morning service of the Weatherby House Church. Mark is going to read some scripture, and then we're going to sing a couple hymns and a psalm before we get into our service.
Mark 10:28-33. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and land with persecutions, and the world to come eternal life. Many that are first shall be last, and last first. They were in the way going up to Jerusalem, just went before them, and they were amazed as they followed. They were afraid. They took again the 12 and began to tell them what things happened unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and to the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles.
Where was that found again?
Mark 28-33. Mark 10:28-33.
All right. Well, thank you. Yes. Okay. Can you start us on 4:14? Jesus, thou art the sinner's friend.
Mm-hmm.
We're singing this out of the old school hymnal, and the title of this song is Jesus, Thou Art the Sinner's Friend.
Jesus, Thou art the sinner's friend, as such I look to Thee. Thou in the fullness of Thy O Lord, remember me. Remember like your word of grace. Remember Calvary. Remember all my dying groans, and then remember me. Thou wondrous advocate with God, I yield myself to thee. While thou art sitting on thy throne, O Lord, remember me. I own I'm guilty, own I'm vile, yet thy salvation's free. Then in thy all-abounding grace, O Lord, remember me. Thou e'er forsaken or distressed, e'er oppressed I be. However afflicted here on earth, O Lord, remember me. And when I close my eyes in death and reach your help softly, then, O my great Redeemer God, I pray, remember me.
Okay, before we go to the Psalter, let's go back to 205. And we'll sing this, the 90 and 9.
For 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hill far away, far out from the gates of gold. Away on the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care, away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, thou hast here thy 99, are they not enough for thee? The shepherd made answer, this of mine has wandered away from me. And all the roads be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. I go to the desert to find my sheep. But thine the ransomed ever knew, how deep were the waters crossed. For how dark was the night the Lord passed through, ere he found his sheep that was lost. Out of the desert he made his cry, sick and helpless and ready to die. Sick and helpless and ready to die. The wind swept blood drops all away that mark of a mountain's track. They were shed for one who had gone astray, and the shepherds would bring him back. For whence are thy hands so red and torn? They're pierced tonight by many a thorn. They're pierced tonight by many a thorn. But all the mountains of the room, and up from the rocky steep, there rose when I cried to the gate of heaven, rejoice, I found my sheep. And the angels echoed around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own.
Well, Iris, thank you. I don't agree with Iris, thank you, on a lot of things. I like parts of that song. But the fact is that the shepherd always knew where the sheep was. Okay? In fact, he was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And yes, he was lost. And but in the mind of God, he was predestinated unto adoption. Okay. All right, we're going to sing Psalm 5. Page 4 out of the Psalter, Psalm 5, before we go with the other part of our service. Oh Lord, hear my words. To my thoughts attend to thee. Hear my cry, my King, my God, for I make my prayer to thee. With the morning light, O Lord, thou shalt hear my voice and cry. In the morn my prayer arrange, and keep constant watch will I. Truly thou art not a God, that in sin doth take delight. Evil shall not dwell with thee, nor the proud in thy sight. Evil doers thou dost take, liars thou wilt bring to naught. God abhors the man who loves, deed of blood or lying thought. But in thine abundant grace, to thy house will I repair, looking to thy holy place, in thy fear I'll worship there. Since, O Lord, my enemies, for my soul do lie in wait, clothe me in thy righteousness,
Make thy way before me straight, for they flatter with their tongues. In their mouth no truth is found, like an open grave their throat. All their thoughts with sin abound, holding guilty, oh my God. And for all their sins expel, let them fall by their counsels, or against thee they rebel. But let all the trust thy gift ever glad and joyful be. Let them joy in blood by name, for they guarded are by thee. And the blessing rich, O Lord, to the righteous thou wilt yield. Thou wilt compass him about with thy favor as a shield.
Well, I want to welcome all of those who have joined us this morning on Facebook and TalkShoe. And I hope that you're having a blessed day in the Lord. Art Gershid, Peter Adeblag, Pedro Calvin Duca, Nan Benahay. We thank you all for joining us this morning. I see Mark Kennedy has joined us. I'm going to go over on TalkShoe and bring him into the call. And we thank him for joining us as well. Good morning, Mark. How are you this morning?
Very good. Very good, brothers. God bless you all this morning.
Yes, brothers and sisters. Yeah. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at a passage in the New Testament. We're going to be going back to Thessalonians, and the Second Thessalonians, and. Yep. I know we've looked at this before, but I want to look at it again and make some comments on it. Actually, this is a relatively short chapter, a short book, Second Thessalonians. But this morning, I think I want to look at a few verses out of each of the chapters. The first chapter, I'm going to have Brother Mark, if he would, read for us the first six verses. And then, Brother Mark, feel free to make any comments on those six verses, and then I'll make some comments, and then I'll read 7 down through 12, and then we'll continue on. But Brother Mark is going to be reading out of 2 Epistle Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 through 6.
Very good. In the King James Version, Second Epistle of Paul to the Apostle to the Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Verse 4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith, in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Verse 6, Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Wow, this is a very encouraging letter. Paul is sending this letter of encouragement to the church at Thessalonica. It's wonderful.
Yes. Well, also, I want to invite Pedro Calabandico, who's joined us, as well as Asif Khurshid, Nan, and the rest of you guys that I mentioned earlier. Welcome all of you that have joined us. We appreciate your taking time out of your schedule to be amongst us today, and we always enjoy getting into the Word of God, breaking the bread of life. Well, yes, one of the things in first verse and second verse, we find that Paul is addressing the church at Thessalonica. He's also with two other people. He's with Silvanus and he's with Timothy. And he says, he lets people know where this grace comes from. He always does. From the God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't come from our own faith. It didn't come from something we worked up in and of ourselves. It came directly from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he also says that he glories in verse 4 in the churches of God. And I'm thankful for all the churches that are out there. A lot of people say Larry's a church basher. Not really. I just don't agree with denominationalism. I don't agree with a lot of the synods and sessions and creeds and confessions, but I do thank God for all of his churches, and I glory in his churches.
Amen.
Then I'm going to go on, and I'm going to start reading verse 7 through 12. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be we revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice here that he says that in verse 7, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So, I find that interesting. Jesus Christ comes back, his revelation is not only going to be of him, but of his mighty angels. Notice also it says that he is going to take vengeance on them that obey not the gospel. He's going to take vengeance on them. And how's he going to take vengeance on them? He's going to take vengeance on them with everlasting destruction. Now, there's a lot of people out there right now that are saying that that destruction word there means annihilation.
Mm.
Well, I believe there's a number of other scriptures that say where the worm dieth not, it also says that they shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And it says that the fire, it will not go out. And so I believe when it says everlasting, it means everlasting.
Yes.
He says that he shall come to be glorified in his saints, be admired in all them. And he says that in verse 12, the whole crux of the matter is that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified. And it's not according to any works that we have done. It's according to verse 12, according to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all according to grace. Now,
amen.
We're gonna move on to chapter 2, and there's a lot being taught in chapter 2. This is the exposing of the mystery of iniquity in chapter 2. Now, we know the iniquitous one is Satan himself, but also we know that Satan comes as an angel of light, seeking whom he may devour. And we see a contradistinction between those who are in Christ and those who are not. Those who are in Christ are the ones that have been chosen to salvation from the beginning. And those who are not in Christ are ones who have been deceived by this wicked one. So we're going to read, Brother Mark, if you could read chapter 2, 1 through verse 9, that would be good. And then we'll stop and make some comments there.
Okay. Oh, and I wanted to say something about the previous chapter real quick. Yes, you are correct. I do believe that annihilationism is an unbiblical doctrine, and I do see in Scripture that the soul of man is eternal. The soul lives on after this pile of dust goes back to the earth. And so I do concur with you 100%. Annihilationism, or the belief that we cease to, that the soul ceases to exist when the body dies, is an unbiblical doctrine and has done much to deceive many in the world. I do agree. Absolutely.
I'm glad you brought up the aspect of the eternality of the soul. That's really good, because that's basically, the Bible says that when we die, our soul will return unto God who gave it, and then God's the one, we see in another scriptures, that the one that has the ability to cast the soul into hell. And
amen.
So, yes, I'm glad you brought that point up.
Okay, now, chapter 2, verses 1 to 9 in the King James, 2 Thessalonians, verse 1 of chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Verse 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Verse 6, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Verse 8, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And verse 9, even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders.
Well, thank you, Brother Mark. Do you have any thoughts on that passage?
I believe that last verse, even him who's coming is after the working. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe that refers to the Antichrist, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I would agree with that. In fact, I think it also is referring to the Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist throughout this whole nine verses, beginning with verse 3, and it says that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
Right.
A lot of people say, well, that's Satan incarnated in the flesh. Well, however you want to put it in words, I believe that there is going to be not just a spirit of Antichrist. We know that the scripture tells us that there are many Antichrists who come in the world. I think this is going to be the one and final Antichrist. And it says in verse 4 that one of attributes, if you want to call it that, of the Antichrist is that he will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God, above all that is more that is worshipped. In other words, this is Antichrist. Another word for Antichrist means a one who tries to replace Christ. In other words, tries to duplicate Christ, tries to become as Christ. Notice what he's doing to do that. He's sitting in the temple of God, and he's showing himself that he is God. Now, there's a lot of people that believe, and I happen to be one of them. I'm not set in stone about this. I just happen to believe that is going to come out of the Roman Catholic Church. I believe the final Antichrist is going to come out of the Roman Catholic Church, and I think it's probably going to be the Pope. He already is seated in a temple of God, being paraded around that he is God, that he is, his title is the Vicar, V-I-C-A-R, Vicar of Christ.
Yes.
And he is a sun worshiper. He is a worshiper of the Babylonian religion.
Yes.
He ascribes, a lot of people don't know this, but the Roman Catholic Church's doctrine subscribes to the Babylonian Talmud, okay? That's why there's so much sexual abuse going on in the Roman Catholic Church. That's why there's so much child molestation and child sacrifice going
on. Yeah, that's right.
And so it says in verse 6, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Now, it's interesting, I find that over the last 3 years, all of this is becoming to be exposed regarding the Roman Catholic Church and their absolute pedophilic activities.
Yes.
It's coming out of the closet.
Yes. Yeah. And it's going on for a long time now.
Yes, it has. But it's really coming out of the closet. I got an email from Brother Edward Henry this week. He's very much into doing research on this subject, and he said that people don't even have a clue as to the level of absolute pedophilic activity within the Roman Catholic Church. In fact, Edward Henry made the statement that it is organized crime at a whole new level.
Oh, yes.
Said.
Yes.
Well, this is what we're seeing here. Now, he says this mystery of iniquity doth already work. Now, this kind of activity was going on back in the time of the Thessalonica church. Mm-hmm. It was already going, but he says that it will be revealed, and it's what's going to happen to these people. Well, according to Scripture, what's going to happen is that the Lord is going to consume this Antichrist with the spirit of his mouth,
mm-hmm.
and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
Yes.
It reminds me of a scripture that says that darkness and light cannot mix. Okay, in other
That's
words,
right.
You have darkness, you have light. You can't have both. And so when the light comes on the scene, the darkness is going to be destroyed. Even him, speaking of the Antichrist, like Brother Mark said, even him who's coming
mm-hmm.
is after of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, I think we mentioned either last Sunday or a couple Sundays ago that in the very last days, and I think this bears itself out in this verse, that when the Antichrist is on the scene, he is going to work mighty powers, he's going to work mighty signs and lying wonders, where many people are going to be deceived by it.
Yes.
Many people are already deceived by the Roman Catholic Church. Many people are also
already
deceived by false doctrines, false healers,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yep.
people like Benny Hinn, people that make all these proclamations in the name of Jesus Christ. Now,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to read 10 down through 17, and then do you have, before we move on to verse 10, do you have any other thoughts, Brother Mark?
Oh, yes. I think it's very fitting and appropriate that we are dealing with this subject at this time, because in a couple of days, we got a day coming up where people are going to participate in a tradition handed down through the centuries, and they have no idea what it means. And we've got this day called Halloween coming up where people think, oh, it's fun to make believe in witches and goblins and ghouls and demons and go out and get the candy and all of that stuff. And they are participating in evil, and they think it's fun, and they have no
yeah.
idea what this day really, they don't have any idea of the history of this day. They think it's, oh, just another American holiday to have fun and make believe we're a witch or a goblin or a demon, and they're operating in, they've already been deceived, like you said, and they are operating, they're operating in deception and ignorance. Yes.
I'm glad you brought that up. I was just sharing with my wife yesterday when I was, probably fourth grade, fifth grade, I dressed my sister, who's was just real small at the time. She's 5 years younger than I. So she was probably, I was probably about seven. She was probably two or three. I dressed
uh-huh.
her up like a witch, you know, put a pointed hat on her, put a broom, gave her a broom. And here I was only seven. And my
right.
mom and dad went right with it. My mom and dad thought it was a big joke, took pictures of it and everything else. And here I was going to a supposed Christian school. And I
right,
was participating.
Right.
So it goes right along with what you were saying, you know. And,
yeah.
you know, the thing is, notice that it, like you in verse 10, it says, with all deceivableness. Most
yes.
people are deceived. Most people don't realize that this hallowed Saints Eve or hallowed Halloween
mm-hmm.
has
mm-hmm.
roots in pagan pagan worship in,
yep.
in worshiping just like the pagan celebration coming up of Christ Mass is
yes.
part of winter solstice, and it's
yes.
all about sexual orgies and all kinds of things that are in the history. At one time, the pagan celebration of Christmas was illegal in the United States. A lot of people don't know that. But anyway, I'm glad you brought that
up. Yep, fertility cults, yes, all of it.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go on now in verse 10. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. They should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ, open God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Well, I'll make a few comments, and then I'll see if Mark has any comments on this as well. Notice in verse 11, when it talks about the strong delusion that he's going to send, they would believe a lie. Well, what is the strong delusion? Well, the strong delusion is those who have pleasure in unrighteousness. The strong delusion are those who believe the lie of free will. In fact, strong delusion is anything that comes against the Word of God. You know, the strong delusion is anything that comes against the truth. Notice it says, they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Well, we look at the strong delusion. I think the strong delusion also today is this idea that God loves everybody, and he died for everyone, and that we're all, like Brother Mark said last Sunday, that we all are basically on the same path. Doesn't matter what God we pray to, as long as we pray to some God, and as long as we have good intentions, and as long as we try to do good works and stuff like this. And this is all a lie from Satan. This is all part of the grand delusion. And this whole idea of unity and tolerance in our society is a part of the delusion as well. Exactly. Notice the contrast, and we've talked about this before, the contrast between those who bought into the lie and those who are not. The ones who have not bought into the lie are because they are beloved of the Lord, because we've been chosen from the beginning to salvation.
Amen.
You know, we can go back to Ephesians 1. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. We could go back to Ephesians 1:11. It says that God works all things after the purpose of his own will. Mm-hmm. We could also go back. Ephesians 1:6, where it says that we were predestinated to be adopted into the family of God, and so on. And it also says in verse 14 that we have been effectually called, as whereunto he called you by our gospel. And we've talked about the fact that it's not something that we did, but it's something that we obtained. It was a free gift. And there's nothing wrong with traditions that go along with the epistles of the disciples or the Word of God. Notice that in verse 15. It says, stand fast on the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistles. In other words, he's not talking about just coming coming up with some special revelation here by traditions and oral traditions. He's talking here, he goes right back to the Word of God or to the apostles' epistles. That's what he's talking about when he's talking about traditions. And then he talks about, in verse 16, the fact that we have everlasting consolation. It's not temporary salvation. It's eternal life.
Amen.
And we have eternal life. We can comfort. We can be comforted in that. So that's kind of my thoughts on that. Brother Mark, any comments on verses 10 through 17?
I wanted to relate something to this verse 10 here, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. I see a strong correlation between this verse and Romans chapter 1, verse 28, where it says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient." Romans 1, 28. And so I see a connection between these two verses here.
That's good. That's good. That's a very good point. That's a very good point. Well, we're going to move on. We're going to forge ahead to chapter 3. This is the last chapter in 2 Thessalonians. And I'm going to have Brother Mark read 1 through 9, half of that chapter, and then we'll make comments on it, and then we'll go to the last half of chapter 3, and then we're going to conclude with a hymn for our services this morning. Brother Mark, chapter 3, 1 through 9.
Good. In the King James Version, 2 Thessalonians, verse 1 of chapter 3, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." Verse 3, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." Verse 4, "And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you." Verse 5, "And the Lord direct your heart into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." Verse 6, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us." Verse 7, "For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you." Verse 8, "Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you." Verse 9, "Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us." I love that.
Yes. Yeah, I want to also recognize Vijay, as well as Jesse Malangara, who's joined us as well. May good Lord be with you this morning. Yeah, this is really good. Of course, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine and reproof and righteousness and so on. But
yes,
one of the things I like about this third chapter is in the first verse it says that the word of the Lord must have free course. I like that. In other words, that it will be unstoppable. Will be unstoppable. In other words, it will accomplish what it was set out to do. And part of that accomplishment is to deliver us from unreasonable and wicked men. And notice he said, "All men have not faith." Now there's a good response to the Arminians, okay? Yes. If it's your faith, that causes your belief and your salvation, what do you do with the men that don't have any? Okay.
Right.
What do you do with them? Okay. Now, he says, as it relates to God's elect, the brethren, notice that's who he's addressing in verse 3. He says, brethren, finally, brethren. He says that the Lord is faithful and will establish you and keep you from evil, mm-hmm. and that he will direct our hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ, verse 5. And he goes on and repeats the fact that he's addressing the brethren in verse 6, and he invokes the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And notice he uses that word tradition again. Now, the tradition, again, he wants to be clear what he's talking about when he says tradition.
Mm-hmm.
He says that you are to withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition. And then here's the important part, that you have received from us. That you have mm-hmm. received from us, not some mm-hmm. just vain tradition. Now, again, if we go back to the word traditions in verse 15 of the last chapter, we'll find mm-hmm. again, traditions are the ones that have been taught either through the Word of God or through the epistles. So I always like to point that out, that people that are really into traditions, that they're into traditions that have nothing to do with the Word of God or the apostles' teachings. Okay. And then verse 7, he says that we should walk orderly, the fact that he did not walk disorderly, and that we should, he talks about that the fact that we should be involved in working. We were told that by the sweat of our brow we shall eat. And mm-hmm. I'm sure that there's been people that have tried to get out of working and providing for themselves. Now, I know that there are certain people that don't have the ability to do that, because I happen to have a disabled son mm-hmm. who is limited in certain areas. But we should labor. Notice that another place, Paul talks about the fact that he was a tent maker. He didn't mm-hmm. take from the church. He didn't take from the churches. He provided for his own needs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna go ahead and read the final verses 10. But before I do that, before we move on, Mark, do you have any comments about the first section there, 1 through 9 of chapter 3?
I love that verse 9 about how Paul, about how to lead by example. It's exactly the opposite of the spirit of the world where, you know, I tell you to do something and you do it. And then and there's that kind of spirit in the world. But when you have a spirit of leading by example, then you can see what's good without being told what to do.
That's right. Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that say, do as I say, not as I do. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we command you, that if you would not work, neither should you eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. But if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now, mm-hmm. the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. This salutation of Paul with mine own hand, which is the token in every epistle, so I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I'm going to make a couple comments and then let Mark have the last word on this passage. The thing that comes through in this passage is that the only reason that we admonish someone or mm-hmm. exhort someone is to bring about reconciliation.
That's right.
Because the reason I know that to be the case, in verse 15 it says, admonish him as a brother. In other words, don't count him anathema or accursed, okay? But admonish him as a brother. The other thing that I always like, I like the way that the Apostle Paul concludes all of his writings almost every time. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. You know, it has nothing to do with, he does exhort people to not be weary in doing well, you know, in verse mm-hmm. 13. Be mm-hmm. not weary in what he's doing. But he ends on the most important thing, and what is grace? Grace is the unmerited favor of God. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. That's Amen. My comments on that. Any final comments you have before we go to our concluding hymn, Brother Mark?
Yes, I see that all of this, you know, as a brother, verse 15, it's to be done with the spirit of reconciliation, like you said, with love and a view toward their spiritual eternal good. Not in
yes.
judgment, the world would say, oh, you get over there and do that, you know. When somebody is admonished or disciplined, it's always supposed to be with a view to their restoration and eternal good.
Excellent. Well, before we sing our final hymn, I have a couple announcements. One, tonight we'll be having our service at 6:00. Brother Mark will be with us. And Brother Mark, I want to thank you again for your co-laboring with me today. It's such a blessing to have you with us and to be a part of this. I thank you for that labor of love.
It's all for the Lord.
Yes, and also we'll be on at 6:00 this evening, good Lord willing, and we'll also be on Facebook Live and TalkShoe this evening as well. So welcome aboard this evening. Now, Monday night at the same time, 6:00 Central, Brother Edward Henry has agreed to come on and talk about his research and study of the new versions of the so-called Bible. And his presupposition is that the newer translations and versions are not the Bible. They're not the Word of God at all, because there's been so many additions and subtractions from it, it's no longer valid. And so
mm-hmm.
he's going to go into that. He's going to go into all the problems with the New International Version, which is really I believe it's demonic inspired. What I believe. Other translations of the Bible out there that are being used, the problem with the new King James Version of the Bible, problems with the paraphrased editions like the Living Bible, problems with the American Standard Version, the Revised American Standard Version, the New American Standard Version. There's so many of them out there. You know,
mm-hmm.
I often tell why do people like the New American Standard Version of the Bible so well? Well, one reason is the Roman Catholics like it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we're going to be talking about that on tomorrow night. Feel free to join us. And then Wednesday night, Brother Mark and I are going to continue working through the book,
mm-hmm.
God Does Not Love Everyone, But He Does Love His Elect from Everlasting to Everlasting, and we're ready for chapters 2 and 3 in that book, and we'll be reading through, and Brother Mark will be making comments regarding those two chapters that he sees need to be covered, and so you're joining us Wednesday. Now, we try to, every Friday night, my son and I try to do a broadcast
on, Mark likes to call it In My Father's House. We didn't do it Friday, but we did get to it last night late. We were zonked. We took a trip down to Ponca, Arkansas. Beautiful country, especially during this fall time of the year. It's just, oh man, it's just almost like, it's almost like going through, you know, it's hard to believe how heaven must be. It's mm-hmm. all golden. Everything is golden, beautiful. And we went back on a trail, and I kind of overdid it. But so we were kind of out of it Saturday, Friday night. So we did it last night. We're continuing. Mark is enjoying working with me through the study of portions of The Greatest Lie on Earth by Edward Henry. So we're really covering a lot regarding biblical cosmology in the Friday night study with Mark. So you're welcome to join us if you have an interest in biblical cosmology. So that's pretty much the announcements updated. Now the song that we're going to sing is going to be taken. The final song is going to be taken out of the old school hymnal, and it's called The Bride's Mansion. Bride's Mansion, and I really 471 in the old school hymnal, and I really love this song. A lot of good words, and I'm looking forward to this day. I'll have Mark start this. Let me move the camera over so you don't have to look at my ugly face all the time.
I have a feeling from inside, my Lord is coming to his bride. And when he comes, I want to see the glorious meeting it will be. He has a mansion where they'll meet. Do not know more, the thought is sweet. And they together ever stay in that sweet home of endless day. Since he is gone, she's lonely here and often feels a burning tear. She is now waiting, not in vain, for her dear Lord to come again. And when he comes, the angels say, she has no guilt to wash away, for all her sins, even the dross, were put away on Calvary's cross. And now a mansion's bright and fair, she'll never live with him up there. No sorrows there can ever come, eternally with Christ at home. He has a mansion where they'll be. To part no more, the thought is sweet. And they together ever stay in that sweet home of endless day.
Well, Brother Mark, I hope you have a blessed afternoon, and all of our friends that join us on Facebook, God be with you, and hopefully we will see you all this evening.
Yes, thank you, brother.
Thank you. Thank you. And goodbye for now.
Yes. God bless. And we'll see you this evening. And God bless our audience.
Yes.